You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 12 February. We've got U.S. inflation due 3:30. Our time expected, no change, 2.9%. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Carmen Mepawani. The Suntam update, vast difference between earnings per share and HEPS, headline earnings per share. Which one matters, I suppose? Harry Scherzer from Future Forex, the risks on South Africa losing access to the African Growth and Opportunity Act, AGOA. And then Philip Short from Flagship Asset Management. DeepSeek energy efficiency, counterintuitively good for energy companies' outlook. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines for MoneyWeb: tax collections up, but not by enough. Revenue shortfall expected to be around 10 billion. Budget, of course, Wednesday next week. Business Day, robust GNU holds firm despite policy disagreement, says Standard Bank. The chief economist says Government of National Unity does not pose a significant risk to the economy at this point. Morning markets, US was mixed, although the S&P up 2 points, which is what, 0.03%. The Nasdaq was down 0.3%. Over in the east, it's green. Sydney up 0.3%. Tokyo up 0.1%. Hong Kong's 1.4% higher, and Tencent 2.3% higher. Commodities mixed. Gold is down. The futures at 2,917. Brent is green, 76.82. Platinum is green, 1,036. Palladium red, 992. Rand, 18.51. Bitcoin, 95,600. Top 40 opening call. Looking for a good green open, 350 points or 0.45% higher.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Tony and I with Carmen Mepawani, independent analyst. Carmen, appreciate the early morning time. Suntam, short-term insurer, trading update for the year ending December. It shows earnings per share up 0 to 20% higher. Nice number. Shows headline earnings per share up 40 to 60% higher. Very nice number. I suppose first question is, what's driving the discrepancy? Which one should we be looking at? Typically, I tend to focus on HEPS. Would that be a fair shout in this case?
So we'll start with your last question. Definitely for me, in terms of looking at numbers, HEPS is always the cleaner number.
Yeah.
From an from an accounting perspective, but as you say, also more so from a operational perspective. So that's what EPS does encompass, which is the traditional operating side versus the earnings per share, which definitely has the one-offs in. So the key year is the base, which is in 2023, which we're comparing to. Mm-hmm. And the focus there was that we had a disposal. Well, not we had. Suntam had a disposal of a JV, and that gave him a boost of about a 705 million gain in 2023. So that basically is the reason for that big discrepancy between the two numbers.
Gotcha. So HEPS is the clean one, which then says this is a really good number. I mean, the short-term insurers, they certainly are. I mean, they refer to significant weather-related catastrophic disasters and other large losses. I mean, this is perhaps one of the risks to short-term insurers. But being short-term, they can reset rates easier.
Well, the big thing definitely, as you mentioned, is I think for Suntam, one of the key things that came up in their half year results was a focus on the inclemental weather. Mm. So concern about what was going to happen going into the rainy season and the hail season in the third and fourth quarter. But I think what has been the balance for them is the significant improvement on the underwriting side. Mm. So as much as there is the risk around, you know, we can't control weather, how do you balance that? And it looks to be that they've gotten that big improvement on the underwriting, which started in the first half and clearly has gone into the second half as well. So that's definitely assisted them. But as you've said, there has been a they have been able to increase their premiums as well, which has given them a further boost.
Do they still, I mean, back in the day, and I mean, this is how Warren Buffett really got Berkshire going with his short-term insurance, which gave him a large float. Do they still sort of have the access to it? I mean, a rising market, does that lift the money that they hold, which is often invested? Or has that sort of been almost, I mean, I'm thinking the new regulations which have come through over the last few decades have perhaps closed some of that down or not too much?
A lot more conservative, definitely. Focus on the consumer to ensure that their investment is safeguarded. But there is still room to have the ability to grow that investment base. I mean, otherwise the insurance companies would just collapse. They wouldn't be able to continue. So as long as they're kept within their solvency, definitely that's been key, and they've been able to do that within their parameters. But a lot more conservative than it used to be before.
Yeah, and I mean, what do they call it? Economic capital solvency position, well
Correct.
within the target range of 145% to 165%. That is wild solvency. We'll leave it there. Komal Mapuwane, independent analyst, always appreciate the early morning insights. The Standard Flexible Income Fund delivers capital preservation and consistent top quartile inflation beating returns. Let your money keep working with Stanlib Asset Management even after you retire.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Harry Scherzer. He is CEO of Future Forex. Harry, appreciate the time. AGOA, African Growth and Opportunity Act, if memory serves, enacted by Bill Clinton, I think in 2000. Really, it's giving preferential trade treatment to a number of countries, South Africa included, so that we can export our goods into the US. It's now under threat. It got renewed by Biden, but I mean, it could go away, and it's not insignificant in South Africa's life if it does.
How's it, Simon? Great to be on. Thanks for the invite. Yeah, so you're 100% right. It would be a bit of a disaster, really, for South Africa if this got removed, because it allows us to export goods to the US duty-free, which basically means that the US government doesn't take any piece of the pie when, for example, fruit comes from South Africa into the US. And so, as you can imagine, if this was removed, suddenly the competitive advantage that we have in moving goods into South Africa in certain industries gets removed. And that would not be good for our relations with America, not good for our exports, and not good for our GDP ultimately.
Absolutely. I mean, the numbers seem to be, it's about 14 billion that we send out of a total exports of about 121 billion, those US dollar numbers. The argument that we could just take our fruit or textiles or motor vehicles and send them somewhere else is nice, but it's not practically that easy. I mean, firstly, Europe is already buying fruit from somebody else, including ourselves to a degree. It's not a case of, well, then just send the ships elsewhere.
Exactly. We've got more than 10% of our exports going to the US, as you mentioned, under AGOA. And so you have a situation where this isn't a minor 1% or less than 1% of what we do. This is over 10% of what we did last year. And so you have a situation where this is not something that we're going to, as you say, redistribute very easily, just because of how big the numbers are here, how much we're utilizing this agreement. And, you know, how much of that will remain exports to the US? Probably very low, because suddenly if you're going to put duties on it and tariffs on it, the buyer is going to look elsewhere. They're going to say, well, we'll take American produced fruit. We'll take fruit produced from Europe. You know, suddenly South Africa doesn't have that competitive advantage that it used to.
And it is that. And I mean, there's two sides to this equation. One is AGOA, which may or may not be cancelled by President Trump. The other is that he might actually put additional tariffs on. In other words, instead of being tariff-free, he might turn around and say 25%. And say what you will about some of Trump's economic 101 understanding, that makes whatever we send into the US, bang, 25% more expensive.
Exactly. No, it's frightening when on the other side you have a president who is so trigger happy, and we've seen this countless times. He has no problem removing aid, removing, you know, AGOA agreements in theory, and furthermore putting tariffs on his enemies. And so we're really, at the moment, we're very much on the wrong side of America. And with a president as action-orientated as Trump, you don't really want to be on the wrong side of America, quite frankly.
There's obviously an impact to our economy if this happens. And to be clear, I mean, yes, AGOA is there. Yes, it's for another year. But there are exit clauses. There always is in these type of things that President Trump could enforce. I mean, obviously, it hurts the economy, which that obviously has a rand impact. But if we're exporting less, it hits our balance of trade. And that could also have a potential currency impact.
No, it absolutely could. And I think the second order effects are what you're talking about now. The idea that the rand is going to depreciate, the cost of goods in shops are going to increase as a result because suddenly the rand's not worth as much on the international, in the international market. But if we look at the direct impact here, it's actually quite ironic because one of the major sets of people that this will impact directly are South African farmers. And this is exactly who Trump claims that he's trying to protect and saying are being treated so badly. So I hope Trump can be nuanced enough to realize even though South Africa are on his bad list, it doesn't mean that removing AGOA solves this. Yes, we are being benefited by AGOA, but the people that are being benefited are largely the people that he's wanting to protect and claims are being treated so badly. So there's an argument here that he's going to be nuanced enough. I don't know if he's got that ability, but assuming he does, he's going to be nuanced enough to say this AGOA agreement is something that we need to keep in place because it's benefiting people in South Africa that need to be protected. And so as a result, we won't be touching that. That's the hope, is that he can use that level of nuance.
I take your point, and that's a great one. I mean, agriculture, obviously farmers, but even textiles and automotive, a lot of these are those lower income jobs, perhaps less so in automotive, but it is going to, it's the cliche, it's going to be the poorer who get hurt most. And we already have a chronic problem with poverty in South Africa and unemployment.
Yeah, it's a really sad situation because South Africa is struggling as is. And when you have a major superpower like America putting more pressure on South Africa, it's the last thing we need, quite frankly. We're at a point where we're actually doing pretty well within our borders. You know, if we look at Eskom, 10 months of no load shedding, okay, there was a bit of a blip a couple of weekends ago. But apart from that, it's been pretty damn good. Transnet, after the SONA, there's been clear action points to improve the ports. So we're doing everything right. And if we can just keep our heads down and not make enemies of the international world, it's looking like a potentially a good year for South Africa. But of course, that can all be imploded if Trump goes ahead and removes AGOA, etc. And that's something that if I were part of the presidency, I would be very scared of. And I would be very, very clear, as we have done, to say, Trump, we invite you, please come investigate South Africa, come see, and not do anything to irritate them anymore.
Yeah, it's that nuance that you mentioned, and hopefully we can get some of that from our politicians. In a sense, they can act like grown-ups. We'll leave it there. Harry Scherzer, he's CEO of Future Forex. Always appreciate the time. That's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. Do you think we're going to lose or go? I mean, every time it comes up for renewal, there's lots of talk and worry and concern. Biden did extend it for a year last year, but maybe things are different under President Trump. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with StanLib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting now with Philip Short. You find him at Flagship Asset Management, where he's a senior equity analyst. Philip, appreciate the early morning time. Was it only 3 weeks ago? It seems just the other day, DeepSeek suddenly arrived on our scene. And it does lots well, faster, quicker, cheaper. One of the concerns, though, is lower energy use, which is, in one sense, good. But it spooked investors in the energy sector, is my sense. And certainly we've seen some sell-offs in energy post the DeepSeek launch.
Yes, I think, it took a lot of people by surprise. But since then, since the market and investors and normal people have, well, the people for the public have had time to digest the news. I think there's a lot of positives to be taken out of it. And results from the early days of the PC, personal computer, and mobile phones, as that there initially was thought to be such a small market for those two industries. And as they became cheaper, in terms of the manufacturing and the use, so the market, total addressable market, became much larger, which then made those which made the access or the total addressable market much larger. So I think it's going to be actually good for everyone in the industry.
Yeah, I mean, in a note you put out, you referenced Jevons paradox, which I have to be honest, I first heard of about 3 weeks ago when DeepSeek came out, and that's the theory that bring down those efficiencies, it actually does increase that demand. I mean, we bring down lower power costs, it suddenly says to everyone, hang on a sec, we can get this AI cheaper, and that's what can significantly spur demand. I mean, ultimately, DeepSeek, it was a shot across the bow, but it is probably very good for the industry.
I think it's very good. And I think if we take a step away from the companies that are involved and look at the countries that are involved, this is actually a big step up in terms of a race between China and the US. Everyone was quite, I think, a little bit complacent in terms of China's position. One is they're quite secretive and a closed type of a country. And number two, we knew that there was restrictions or a curb on exports of chips and other IP from America to China. So everyone thought that China was quite far behind. And they showed that they're not. So I think that the race now is to who can get the best sort of AI first.
I get your point, and absolutely, we hadn't realized that China was there at the point. There was a massive sell-off in NVIDIA at that point in time when it happened. It's recovered a bit. I mean, NVIDIA's probably still going to sell lots of chips, but perhaps lower margins, as you say, as the race is on. And truthfully, I mean, much as DeepSeek came out of the blue, there are many who are trying to sort of breach NVIDIA's moat at the same time.
Yes, I think there's in this sort of tech part of the industry, you're always going to have those people at the frontier that are going to spend as much money as they can on the most advanced chips available. And in that part, NVIDIA will do well. But there's also the other type of player, which is your average company that wants to automate a couple of stuff or it wants to improve efficiencies, that wants to do X amount of output regardless of what the chips are going to cost. So I think now with the efficiency, they can afford to pay less for the same chip that's going to do the same amount of output as the previously higher paid chip. So it's a little bit more complicated when it comes to the chip makers and chip designers like NVIDIA in terms of how their margins will develop. But I think in terms of the infrastructure plays and in terms of the energy providers, because there'll be more chips, whether they'll be high-end chips or low-end chips, there's going to be a greater total addressable market for total amount of chips. I think a good place to invest for AI would be, or AI themed, would be the infrastructure plays, as there'll be larger data centers and greater energy providers for the AI.
Absolutely. And we saw it last year. Microsoft is essentially recommissioning Three Mile Island, which has been dormant for a number of years. It's a giant nuclear reactor because there is going to be demand. And to the point, DeepSeek just means more demand. Energy is the sort of underlying pinning. Without it, none of this happens.
Yes. I mean, if you remember when ChatGPT, I mean, we're already now on ChatGPT 4, going on ChatGPT 5 and further advanced versions. The first ChatGPT that came out, one search into ChatGPT requires 10x the energy of one Google search.
Yeah.
So you can see the amount of energy demand that's going to be out there. It's insane. I mean, the number of data centers in the US alone is more than all the data centers in the world combined. We've had Stargate announced by the US, which is a $500 billion AI investment. And this week we see France saying they're going to do a $100 billion AI investment. Mm-hmm. So this is extremely energy intensive. And I think, that's probably the best place to be right now for AI.
Yeah, and we had results, what is it, Alphabet, Microsoft, Amazon and Meta, $300 billion spend dollars on infrastructure, or on CapEx, as they call it, over the course of 2025. Giant numbers. Philip Short, Flagship Asset Management, appreciate the early morning time. That's it for today. We were chatting with Chantal Marx yesterday. She, of course, from FNB Wealth and Investments, talking around the telecom update. That revenue number, 0.9%. Man, my heart sank. But as you read through, and Chantal made the point very much so, it just got better and better. The turnaround been some time coming, but is happening. Data, mobile, really, really is doing well for them. We asked you if this was a stock worth investing in. 40% said you prefer MTN or Vodacom. A third said, nope, where's the revenue? The rest was saying, yep, it is looking great. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show and you want more interviews around AI, please leave us an awesome rating and a review in your podcatcher of choice. We'll chat again tomorrow. Pan African results.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.